Good afternoon, listeners, and welcome along to another edition of Across the Line here on Tip FM with myself, Paul Carroll. And this Friday, the 12th of April 2024, a special episode of this week as we're broadcasting from McNeville Park in Rathkeel ahead of Tipperary's under 20 championship opener against Limerick. We will be bringing you live commentary of that game from 7 o'clock throw-in time. We're also going to be having a bit of pre-match chat with Keen Tracy just beforehand as well. So all that to come. Also in the show this week's edition of The Sporting Edge, I talked to Jerome Cahill from the Lahorna Handball Club and of course a former All-Ireland winner with Tipperary back in 2019, and Killer One McDonagh's Dan Breen winning captain a couple of years back. Speaking to Jerry later in the show about his upcoming All-Ireland Handball Final on Sunday. So a good chat with him. We'll have Barry Drake previewing the weekend's Greyhound racing also towards the end of the show. We're also going to be looking ahead to the Munster Junior Cup Final. St. Michael's taking on Villa FC down in Fermoy on Sunday. Barry Ryan going to tell us about that one. And in just a few moments' time, we'll preview the big game this weekend on Sunday at 2:30 in Croke Park. Tipperary, of course, taking on Galway in the National Camogie League Final. Massive game that will be live here on Tip FM with thanks to Classy Lady Boutique in the Square in Kerr. And that will be myself and Geraldine Canan looking ahead to that game and also on commentary on Sunday. So all that to come. A reminder, later in the show, we're going to be going live, of course, for the game. So about 7:15, we'll get Keane Tracy in alongside me and we'll chat about the game and go straight into our full live commentary. So a busy show coming up. So let's start with this game on Sunday. Tipperary taking on Galway in the Division 1A Camogie League Final. 2004, the last time Tip have won the National League. So to talk about this game, I'm delighted to say I'm joined on the line, as always, by Tipperary Camogie PRO, Geraldine Canan. Geraldine, you're very welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Paul.
Geraldine, how big is this game for this Tipperary Camogie team, and Tipperary Camogie in particular? I think it's 2004, the last time Tip have won the National League. But for this group of players, even up in Croke Park against, you know, one of the top three teams in Galway, this is a very big game for this group of players.
Yeah, it's a massive game for this group of players and a massive opportunity to really establish themselves of, you know, as I suppose serious championship contenders for later on in the summer. Like you said, it's 20 years since we won a league, so, and 20 years since we won any national title. It's 15 years since we were in a league final back in 2009, lost to Wexford. A couple of years ago they qualified, but it didn't go ahead with COVID. And then last year they almost had one foot in the league final and missed out on score difference. So there has been a lot of disappointment, I suppose, for this group in recent years, just missing out in the league final. But you know, they're there now, they're there in merit. I suppose they did it the hard way, losing their first game against Waterford, but in fairness they bounced back in real style, beating Galway, Cork, Kilkenny and Clare. So you know, deservedly in a league final, but it would be massive to if they could win it. You know, they've had wins over Galway in the league in the group stage this year and last year. I suppose beat Cork in the championship 2 years ago when Cork were kind of true and we still missed out on a semi-final spot, but we haven't really beaten the Cork, Kilkenny or Galway in a really big game that really counts, you know, a knockout game. So it would be massive. Like, the girls have shown, I suppose, they have the ability to beat them on any given day, but I suppose a bit of consistency has lacked maybe in recent years, you know, putting a number of big performances back to back. But they've done that now in the last four games, but I suppose this is the one that really counts now on Sunday.
Yeah, and like you've mentioned, they've beaten the likes of Cork, Kilkenny and Galway in this league campaign even so far, but the fact that it's on up in Croke Park, and you know, to think back that this team, you know, could do with a big win up in Croke Park. They played there last year against Antrim, but to be playing against one of the top teams up there, even to look forward for the rest of the year and what's to come in championship, like a win here on Sunday would just do the world of confidence for this group of players.
Yeah, and I think it would be worth so much more to this Tipperary team than to Galway. You know, Galway, in fairness, I suppose, have plenty of experience. I'd say most of that panel have an All-Ireland one, and they're going for the third league title in a row. They've lots of experience playing in Croke Park. You know, it's different for a Tip, you know, like you said, Antrim last year in the quarter-final. But, you know, I think that was the first time for most of those players to play in Croke Park. You know, and to win a league title, to be up there league champions, I suppose there's only two national titles every year, and for Tip to have one of them so early in the year, it would be massive and a huge boost going into championship, and I think a real statement of intent. So there's no doubt about it. It would be a massive boost in confidence. It would be a massive result, and I think it would give a huge lift to the whole county.
So we kind of know now, like, how big it would be, but what's going to be required here? You mentioned Galway coming in Looking for their third win in a row. Tip beat Galway in the group stages of the league at 3-10 to 1-13. Eimear McGrath scored 3-7 that day, so I'm sure she'll be heavily marked come Sunday. But talk to me about this Galway team. It's by no means going to be an easy task, I'd imagine, up here in Croke Park.
No, certainly not. And I suppose if we look back to that league game, like you said, Eimear McGrath got 3 goals. So straight away, Galway are going to look to make sure that doesn't happen again. Roisin Black is their captain this year. She's full back. She'll pick up Eimear, I'd imagine. And no, she'll spare nothing in there. She'll be ruthless on Eimear. She's a real tough full back. So, you know, in fairness, it's going to take all the other forwards to really have a top class performance. Like the Grace O'Brien, she's only back from injury, but she's looking really sharp, looking really hungry there in the corner. Eimear Heffernan as well. Eimear, super striker of the ball, if we can get enough ball into her. But we just need, I suppose, I think Eimear Heffernan and Grace O'Brien really to be on fire. Eimear McGrath will do the business with frees and things like that, but I imagine Galway are going to mark her very tightly, so she's not going to get the same opportunity she got the last day. Midfield, I think, is important, whether it's Casey or Tess or whoever starts in midfield really is going to, you know, it's a big position, and it's a position I suppose Galway are very strong in as well. We've seen Aoife Donoghue there play there in the past. She's kind of playing more wing forward now, but you know, we've seen Aoife Kilkenny back on the panel as well for Galway, so serious options there as well. But I think if we could get on top of midfield and I suppose if our inside forward line get enough ball and I suppose have their shooting boots on, I think we have a really, really good chance, because I think our defence is very strong and it's kind of a settled defence at this stage. And but again, they're going to have their work cut out. You have the likes of Ailish O'Reilly there, the McGrath sisters, you know, Siobhan and Orla as well. So Galway have plenty of talent in that forward line. So I think we do need to get on top in midfield, really, and I suppose limit the supply into the Galway forwards.
Yeah, they really do have some kind of household names there that you were rattling off there, that Galway team. But for Tipperary, I suppose Karen Kendi is a worry going into this game, a shoulder injury that's been at her for a while and maybe re-aggravated against Clare last time out. Do you reckon she's going to be able to play some part here on Sunday?
Yeah, look, sure, you'd be hoping that she will. I suppose it'd be 2 weeks since the Clare match where she came down hard on that shoulder and had to go off. I know she hasn't been doing any contact training, but you know, I think Karen will do everything in her power to try and start against Galway in the league final. And I suppose you'd be hoping, and you know, the great team there of physios and whatnot, that she'll be able to play. Be interesting to see where Dennis plays her. I suppose he has been playing her in the forwards, but as you know, she probably is one of the best centre backs in the country, and he might revert back to that for this big clash in Croke Park, you know, where big wide open space. He might feel he needs Karen back there, but you know, Karen will give her 100% wherever she plays, and fingers crossed she'll be able to start on Sunday.
Yeah, hopefully she will be massive if we can get her out in the field to start the game on Sunday. Geraldine, really looking forward to this game. You'll be on co-commentary with myself up there, so I will see you up there on Sunday, and let's hope we're coming down the M7 with a bit of silverware on Sunday.
Certainly, Paul, looking forward to it.
And also worth mentioning as well, the Tipperary minor camogie team are in action on Sunday at 12:30. They're playing Waterford down in SETU Waterford. That's the final group game in the All-Ireland Championship. Tipperary already qualified for the semi-finals, so this game on Sunday will just kind of determine exactly where they finish and who they're going to be going up against. So the very best of luck to John Ryan's side there on Sunday. We're going to take a quick ad break. We'll be looking forward to the Munster Junior Cup final after these. And you're very welcome back to part two of Across the Line here on Tip FM with myself, Paul Carroll, on this Friday, the 12th of April, 2024. So as we continue our countdown to the live game here on Tip FM at 7 o'clock this evening, Tipperary against Limerick in the Munster Under 20 Hurling Championship here in McNeville Park in Rathkeel. We're going to look ahead to Sunday's big game between St. Michael's of Tip Town and Villa FC of Waterford. They meet in the Munster Junior Cup final. It is a 2 o'clock kickoff time down in Fermoy. And to talk about this game, I'm delighted to say I'm joined on the line by our soccer analyst, Barry Ryan. Barry, you're very welcome back to the show.
How are you, Paul?
All good, Barry. Yeah, looking forward to this game here on Sunday in Fermoy. 2 o'clock kickoff time, St. Michael's against Villa FC. This is the Munster Junior Cup final. The sides have a lot of history in recent times. They met in the FAI Junior Cup quarterfinal just over a couple of months ago. That was won by Villa FC 2-0. But since then, Villa FC have gone on and suffered a defeat on penalties last week in the FAI semi-final. So, you know, they're going to be coming in maybe with the heads down a little bit after that result, and St. Michael's will, you know, be looking to get revenge for that quarter-final defeat.
Yeah, look, Mike has had a bit of a difficult period with Villa of Watford. The one thing I would have felt about that FEI game down in Watford was Villa Watford hadn't been beaten at home in 4 years, and the game was played on an AstroTurf, and it just completely changes the game. It's a particularly wide open and big AstroTurf as well that suits the way Villa Watford play. And I always felt that was going to be a difficult game for St. Michael's. But with this game being in Fermoy on a grass pitch, I think it completely changes the game. Villa Watford come in on the back of, I suppose, like you said, a heartbreaking defeat on penalties last week. Quite interestingly, Conor Coad has been in the job 5 years now, and they've won an FAI Junior Cup. They've been really successful. But in that time, they've played in 6 penalty shootouts and lost all 6.
Wow.
Which is, you know, which is an incredible record. And particularly with the likelihood of these games that have a tendency to go the way with St. Michael's, like the FAI Junior Cup final we commentated on last year.
Yeah.
So I think if we do find the game going into extra time, I think Villa Watford will throw the kitchen sink to avoid going to penalties, and that may leave them vulnerable as well. So that will be another little interesting thing as the game develops.
Yeah, and that is very interesting. 0 from 6 is a poor record, kind of an England international kind of record, you feel, at the big tournaments. But how are we looking in terms of St. Michael's form as of late? There's, you know, the league is kind of pretty much done, you would think, with how I think St. Michael's are 9 points ahead at the minute with only a handful of games to go. It's been a successful season, I suppose, so far for St. Michael's.
Yeah, look, St. Michael's are going to win the league. There's no doubt about that. I would also expect them to add the Tipperary Cup as well. Hopefully, Clonmel Town or Clonmel Celtic may have a say in that. But, you know, I think St. Michael's might be hard to stop. So I think they really will want to land one of the big ones, though. And I think the big thing with this game is St. Michael's big threat over teams a lot of the time is set plays. They're so strong on set plays. And Villa Watford actually are very vulnerable on set pieces as well. And it was something that Peak Villa really caused them problems with a few weeks ago in the Munster Junior Cup. But in the game on the AstroTurf down in Watford in the FEI game, St. Michael's only got 2 corners in the entire game. So I think that's something they'll hope. Like, that would be a very unusual statistic. So, and sometimes an Astro can be a bit like that because the ball is so clean, every bounce is clean and stuff like that. On grass, there's a bit more swiping at balls and a little bit more, you tend to get more corners. So that'll be an area I think St. Michael's will really look to go after them on Sunday. And that could just be another little interesting facet. If they get more set plays, is that an area that can really hurt them? And another thing is Dean Walsh, he's a player that St. Michael's probably find a little bit elusive in that he plays as a number 10. And obviously, Paul Breen can't follow him out the pitch and then leave gaps in your own back four. So that's something I think they'll think a little bit about as well, in terms of what way will the number 6 sit in on Dean Walsh and will Paul Breen stay deeper. But that's another really interesting battle that will go on during the game as well.
Yeah, fascinating matchups, I'd imagine, all over the field. Is this going to be, as you were saying, kind of a cagey affair? Is this going to be open-ended football, or is this going to be kind of a set-piece, kind of dominant kind of game?
I think from a St. Michael's point of view, the tighter the game, the better. Villa Watford are a very expansive side, and I think if you allow them to play the way they want to play, particularly if they set up in that back three with 2 wing-backs looking to go forward, I think that game kind of suits them. Whereas I think a traditional junior final, like the one that Newmarket and St. Michael's served up last year, albeit it was a 0-0 draw, but it was a 1-1 draw, but it was a fascinating game throughout. You're on the edge of your seat. I think that type of a tactical battle will suit St. Michael's more. Where it's a little bit more about giving nothing away, very few gaps, set pieces being really, really important. I think that type of a game will be really, really beneficial to St. Michael's. And like you touched on as well, I wonder the longer the game goes on, based on the last few weeks that Villa of Watford had, they also lost the Munster Champions Cup final on penalties a few weeks ago as well. So, you know, that does play in your mind in a big final if you get to 60, 70 minutes and you're not ahead. But the one thing I think both camps will talk about this week is the first goal, how important the first goal will be. After the heartbreak of last week for Villa of Watford, if St. Michael's go 1-0 up, the whole mood around for my, you know, that big support that St. Michael's always bring, how will Villa FC respond to that?
Yeah, it's going to be a fascinating game. 2:00 kickoff time in Fermoy on Sunday. Barry, you'll be there giving us updates on Tip FM on Sunday afternoon. And just before I let you go, Barry, we had some success locally down in Clonmel. Maeve Russell from Clonmel, part of the Ireland Under-19 women's team, which qualified for the Euros. I know you're very familiar with Maeve, but great to see her kind of at such a high level performing. I believe she was starting fullback there for Ireland in that game.
Yeah, look, Maeve was a player I worked with when she was 14. She was right back from my Munster schools team, and she graduated from that onto the Irish schools team and progressed all the way up. She was a winner of a Tip FM monthly Sports Star of the Month award as well, and she's gone from strength to strength. Like, to put it in perspective for people, for the European Championships, only 8 countries qualify for the European Championships in the under 19, wow. And Ireland are one of the eight, having won all of their qualifiers.
The game to go, I think, as well.
Yeah. Like, which is just an incredible achievement, and to beat countries like to beat Croatia, so it's an incredible achievement, and Maeve really is representing Tipperary soccer, and it's fantastic to have somebody over there, wow, if she could secure a medal, or how far they could go, I don't know, but it's a brilliant story to see her career just go from strength to strength, and I'm sure they're really, really proud of her in Loretto Clonmel as well.
Yeah, brilliant, and with the way women's soccer is going, it's on a very much upward trajectory at quite a bit of pace as well, so it's an exciting time to be involved at a young age in the sport, I'd imagine, with where it's going in the next few years. But we'll look forward to how her career progresses in the next few years, but we'll be looking forward to Sunday afternoon, 2:00, St. Michael's versus Villa FC. I mentioned Barry will be there giving updates for that game, but until then, Barry, enjoy the weekend, and we'll hear from you on Sunday.
Thanks very much, Paul.
Always great to have Barry Ryan there talking soccer with us on this week's edition of Across the Line. We're going to take a second ad break now, but after the ad break, we're going to have having a long chat with Jerome Cahill about his upcoming All-Ireland hurling, or All-Ireland handball final, I should say. We're also going to be talking a bit about intercounty hurling with him as well. Of course, the part of the 2019 All-Ireland winning team with Tipperary, and plenty of underage success as well. So a nice long chat on the Sporting Edge with Jerry Cahill is coming up next, along with the weekend's Greyhound Racing Update with Barry Drake. All that and more coming up after these. And you're very welcome back to the third and final part of Across the Line here on Tip FM with myself, Paul Carroll, on this Friday, the 12th of April, 2024. Now, as we continue our build-up to the live game here in McNeville Park in Rathkeel at 7:00, Tipperary under 20 hurlers taking on Limerick. We're going to just speak on this week's edition of The Sporting Edge. Of course, every week I speak to a different Tipperary sports person about their life in their sport and their career and their journey so far. This week, our attention turns to handball. This weekend, the All-Ireland Handball Championship Finals are on up in Croke Park on Saturday and Sunday. And Jerome Cahill is there representing Tipperary. He's in the All-Ireland Junior Final on Sunday. So I travelled out to Lahorna Handball Club just outside Nina here in the parish of Killarone. And I spoke to Jerry Cahill, who lifted the Dan Breen Cup for Killarone McDonoughs. He was their captain back in 2022 and also won an All-Ireland with Tipperary back in 2019. So we had a nice long chat out in Lahorna just there yesterday. So let's hear that chat with Jerome Cahill now.
The Sporting Edge on Tip FM, funded by Commission Na Mban with the television licence fee. Tipperary's Tip
FM. First of all, just preparing for a All-Ireland final like this, you've prepared from in hurling and handball. What, is there any differences at all in kind of preparing for a big game like that?
Well, Paul, I suppose it's similar in many ways. A big game, probably less media attention and publicity in the handball side of things. Mm. So maybe mentally a bit less of a strain there, but definitely you want to perform to your best. So preparation is key, and we'll be training hard now tonight, and we'll be looking after the nutrition then ahead of Sunday and making sure of the sleep and things like that.
Probably lots you probably maybe learned from even being in with elite Tip teams down through the years and things like that, that side of things you probably maybe are ahead of some other players just from being in that kind of elite kind of setup.
Well, yeah, I definitely agree. Yeah, definitely the education that you get as a Tipperary hurler, you work with the best nutritionists, sports psychologists, you have access to just people who are so good at what they do, and definitely I think I've learned a lot from that, and it's definitely stood to me.
The sport of handball in general, just comparing it with hurling, it's obviously far more individual. You're preparing for this, it's a singles game, it's you against Jack Doyle from Kilkenny. How does that kind of, do you enjoy that aspect of the sport? Kind of, it's individual, it's kind of all down to you. It's so different than hurling, it's 15 on 15, whatever. It's kind of all down to you when it comes to handball.
Yeah, there's a big difference there when you step inside the court. It's just you on your own, fending for yourself. You have no teammates around you. and definitely something I do enjoy and learn a lot from. You're put in situations, difficult situations that you know, you have to find your own way out of those difficult situations. There's no one there to help you, and I think it's a good test of your character at times too, definitely. It's two different types of sport. In a team sport, your communication is more important also, you know. So it's very different contrasts, yeah.
Yeah, and like, you've been playing handball, I'd imagine, all your life pretty much here in Lahorna. 60 by 30 alley here, 40 by 20 is on the way. It's up and constructed anyway, and roof over the head, so only a matter of time before that comes in. But talk to us about your start in the sport of handball. When did you kind of first get into it, and was it always kind of a keen interest?
Yeah, well, for as long as I can remember, there's always been a lot of activity going on here in Lahorna Handball Club. I'd say I was about 8 years old when I got involved with Martin Spain and progressed then on to Vincent O'Shea. But before that, my father used to bring us down here a lot to hurl, so practice our hurling. And so I was well familiar with all the bounces of and the way the ball would come back, the speed of the ball, how you needed to react quick and stuff like that. And then we had a very, very active school principal here in our crony, Martin Ryan. He's a great man, and he promoted all types of sport in school, but he loved handball also. So I'd say from about 8 years old, and played it up until maybe 16, 17, and I think the hurling kind of took over then for a period, so it brought me away for a while from handball. So I'm back playing a bit now, playing a junior All-Ireland final this Sunday, and yeah, looking forward to that.
And talk to us about, you know, we're in a 60 by 30 alley here in Lahorna, so is it meters, feet, or what are we talking?
Yeah, so 60 foot long,
60
by
foot,
30
yeah.
meters wide, yeah.
And then 40 by 20 is the other discipline. And talking to you beforehand, you know, the grades here, you're in the All-Ireland Junior Final this weekend up in Croke Park, obviously junior, intermediate, senior. You're a senior 60 by 30 player because we've the 60 by 30 alley here in Lahorna, probably more so of your game. For people who aren't too familiar with handball, talk to us about just the differences of 60 by 30 and 40 by 20. 40 by 20, a smaller kind of a arena compared to a smaller alley compared to a 60 by 30.
Yeah, well, 60 by 30 would have been the traditional game here in Ireland. You'd often see in different parishes around the country, you'd have just three walls, a front wall and two side walls with no roof and no back wall. One in Yahalara there.
Where outdoor
you're from.
Ones.
Yeah, so you'd often find them scattered around the country. So they're your traditional 60 by 30 course. But then I suppose over time, roofs and back walls were added. And that's what we have here in Lahorna. So it's a concrete floor, concrete walls, 60 foot long, 30 foot wide. A different ball is used in 60 by 30. It's a softer ball with a more of a bounce to it.
Right.
It's a bigger ball as well. And yeah, that's played mainly in summertime and would be kind of limited to Ireland, really. It wouldn't be as international as the 40 by 20. And yeah, so that's what I grew up playing here in Lahorna, and I'd predominantly be a 60 by 30 player. But the 40 by 20 then it's more like a squash court, so a timber floor, concrete walls, and maybe a glass back wall as well. So it's 40 foot long, 20 foot wide. A smaller, quicker ball is used. And it will be regarded as the main game internationally. And it's played in the States a lot, in Mexico, in places of Canada as well, and some European countries too. So that's what I'm playing on Sunday. That's the World Championships later this year being held in Ireland. That's what they'll be in 40 by 20 code.
and you're kind of gearing up to that as well, kind of towards the back end of the year?
Yeah, I'm not sure if I'll participate yet, but there'll definitely be a lot of hype around the World Championships coming to Ireland this year, later this year, and it'll definitely be a good event. It was the last time it was in Ireland was in 2012.
Right.
So it was in the City West Convention Centre in Dublin, and they put up, I think, 12 temporary courts for those couple of weeks, and it was class. Yeah, I have great memories of that time.
You would have been young at that time. You wouldn't have been competing at that.
Well, no, I was competing. I was competing under 11 or not under 13. Sorry.
Right.
So yeah, it's lovely, and the great thing about the handball is it's a relatively small community, but very inclusive.
Mm.
So whether you're 12 or 13 years of age, or 72 or 3, you know, there's a game there for you.
Mm.
There's a grade that you can play at, and yeah, that's very much evident at the World Handball Championships.
Yeah, that'll be a huge occasion. When did you say that was, kind of?
I think that's towards the end of October,
right?
Beginning of November.
So time left. So you were talking about kind of the 40 by 20 or about 60 by 30 season being kind of predominantly in the summer. So we're 40 by 20 at the minute for this coming weekend. 40 by 20, your nearest alley is here in Nina, you were saying before, and so is that where you'd kind of predominantly go to kind of train and practice for this?
Yeah, at the moment that's where Lahorna club players would train, and our juveniles would train in Nina for the 40 by 20. So we're in the process of building a 40 by 20 here beside the 60 by 30 alley. For anyone who doesn't know, it's between Nina and Bursacane, just before you enter the village of Ardcrony, coming from the Nina side.
Mm.
And yeah, we're in the process of building that, and we've got great support from local community and councillors, and the building is fully weatherproofed now at the minute, and we'll be fundraising in the months to come to see if we can bring it to completion inside and up to a playing standard.
Yeah, it's a fine building anyway at the minute, so once the court and that goes in, it'll be a brilliant facility. But for Sunday now, we were mentioning 40 by 20, and we were talking about this a little bit before we press record here, but most 40 by 20 courts you'll see everywhere will have the concrete front wall, concrete sidewalls, and the glass back wall. But you're in Crow Park up on Sunday, and we have the concrete front wall, but we have glass all the way around. That's obviously a big change. You've probably played there before, I'm sure, but it's a big difference, I'd imagine, just visually when a ball is coming back off the glass, and you could just catch someone walking by, anything kind of happening in the background. It's probably something you have to adjust to.
Yeah, no, I haven't played a competitive match in that court, the show court it's called, in Crow Park, but that's where all the main games are on. And if anybody has been watching highlights on TG Cahir on a Monday night, they'll see games that have been played in the show court. And I'd imagine it would be very difficult during a game when spectators are watching you from the side, especially, you know, you'd want to make sure you're fully concentrated on the ball and nothing else. I've heard a lot of people talking about the two back corners, so where the sidewall meets the back wall. It's very easy to lose sight of the ball in those corners. So but I think from a spectator's point of view, it's definitely it's a class facility.
Yeah.
It really is state of the art, and a pleasure to watch a game up there.
So Sunday now, All Ireland final. Have you a couple of All Irelands and medals, I'd imagine, already, have you?
40 by 20, I haven't many now. I have no minor or under 21 medal in the 40 by 20, and as a result of that, I'm playing junior. So, yeah, this will be probably the main medal in the 40 by 20 if I was to win it. Now, myself and my partner Colin Ryan, we won the doubles in the junior earlier this year. So,
and that was 40 by 20 as well.
That was 40 by 20 too. So, and my partner James Prentice from Ballina, and myself, we won the intermediate doubles 60 by 30 in 2022. So we're both senior handballers now going forward in the 60 by 30. But
so is that full time of the year now? Is there any kind of off season for yourself in terms of handball?
I suppose if you wanted, there's no off season. If you played both codes, for myself, I'm it depends each year what I'll do, but yeah, there's always a tournament you could be preparing for, definitely. No let up if that's what you want, yeah.
Yeah, and yeah. Sunday it's Tip versus Kilkenny All Ireland final. There's always a bit of interest there. Jack Doyle is who you're coming up against. Is he someone you've played before? Is someone
no, he's younger than me, so I've never come across him before now. And that's kind of a common thing in the junior championship. You could meet lads that you've never met in your life.
Mm.
Whereas juvenile, you're possibly coming up against the same opponents most years.
Yeah.
But at junior level, it's a championship that's known for surprises and twists and turns and lads coming out of the woodwork. So he's younger than me. He's meant to be a very good player. And yeah, there's a lot of Kilkenny participation at the weekend as well. So
yeah.
A fairly big handball stronghold.
And we've a few Tip lads up there over the course of the weekend, just looking at it. It's all the kind of All Ireland finals this weekend and the intermediate. We've Rory Grace, we have the men's junior B, Patrick Delaney. Then in some of the masters, we have David Maloney, Christy McGrath, Kevin Buckley. So you're not going up there on your own in terms of wearing the Tip colours?
No, I'll be up there on Sunday now with Rory, my club mate, who I play a lot of with and do a lot of training. So he's playing fantastic handball at the minute, and he'll be in with a good chance in the intermediate. He's up against a good player from Monaghan called Owen McGinnity, but that one will be a tight one. And then there's Patrick Delaney in the Junior B, and myself, we're all on Sunday. And I think the other games, David Maloney from Cashel, Kevin Buckley and Christy McGrath, they're all on Saturday. So, yeah, Tipperary is being well represented up there this weekend.
Great to see. So just before we finish up, a lot of people listening will know you from obviously playing with Killer One and winning the county final a few years ago. I played with Tip all the way up along, and was it 2019 and 2018 under 20 All-Irelands and 2019 All-Ireland senior. You're out with the Tip scene in the last couple of years. Could you see yourself kind of going back in, or kind of having that interest, I suppose, to go back in? And it's a massive commitment as well.
Yeah, it's something I would never rule out. It's, you know, a massive privilege to be able to play, represent Tipperary at that level. It also involves a lot of work, as you know, and I think each year the bar is being raised higher and higher, you know, for a number of reasons, you know. One being that the sport is probably surrounded by professionals, but the players themselves aren't professionals, you know. They still have to get up and work and make a living each day after every game. So it's tough going for players, but it's definitely a huge honour and privilege, and one that I know all about and what it means. So I would never say never to anything like that. But I think Tip are... It's a great county, a great hurling county, and if I was in there, I'd like to give nothing short of my best, you know. And at the moment, it's hard to maintain that high level of performance unless you were giving it everything and leaving no stone unturned. And unfortunately, I'm not in that position at the moment. But yeah, there's definitely aspects of it that I do miss, you know, teammates and lads that I would have grown up playing with, and maybe haven't had much contact with them anymore, or working with guys who are really at the top of their game, you know, backroom team, coaches, the best coaches. We're very fortunate in Tipperary to have access to all that. So there are definitely bits I do miss, but I would have full faith in Liam Cahill and his management team that they would get the best out of what's there, and I think there is a good bunch of players there.
Yeah, and they're focusing on that. the small ball, you're focusing on the smaller ball again, for this weekend. So, Gerry, it's been great chatting to you here. Very best of luck over the weekend, and we'll be keeping an eye out, and hopefully it's an All-Ireland medal coming out of Croke Park.
Yeah, thanks a million, Paul. Pleasure.
The Sporting Edge on Tip FM, funded by Commission Na Mban, with the television licence fee. Tipperary's Tip
FM. Great chatting with Gerry Cahill there yesterday out in Lahorna Handball Club. We wish him the very best luck and all the Tipperary representatives up in Croke Park this Saturday and Sunday in the All-Ireland Handball Finals. But now, as always, on a Friday evening, it's time to talk dogs with Barry Drake.
Tip FM's Greyhound Update, in association with Greyhound Racing Ireland, because this runs deep.
So it's an exciting time in the world of greyhound racing, with so much happening, of course, so much big racing over the course of the last couple of weeks, and plenty to look forward to as well in the coming weeks and coming months. We have to highlight a wonderful, weekend, last weekend at all our tracks around the country. It's the Jerseys night at the track was the team where everyone came out wearing their GA colours on the night at all the various tracks. And of course, it was a big fundraiser for the Dylan Quirk Foundation. And it got unbelievable support, as you would imagine, throughout the country. Some great images of all the various jerseys on our social media platforms from all the various tracks. And well done to Greyhound Racing Ireland, of course, for supporting that fantastic charity. And as I said, as you would imagine, got unbelievable support all around the country. So that was last weekend. We had the final of the 25,000 euro to the winner 2024 Bresbit Easter Cup at Shelburne Park last Saturday night, and a big Tipperary success here, because Graham Holland, the champion trainer based in Golden in County Tipperary, well, he stole the show with a 1-2 in the final. It was won by Clonbrine Treaty, who delivered a sensational performance to win in 29.77 for the Murphy family. That, of course, was a third classic success for Clonbrine Treaty. And he got the better of his kennel mate, Clona Duke, who was sent off favourite. Of course, Clonbrine Treaty was a 4-1 shot in the betting market. And, of course, Clona Duke ran a fantastic race as well in defeat. So a big night there for the Holland family, and all connected with his Riverside kennels. Switching our attentions to local action, well, let's start with Clonmel tonight, because they have their usual Friday night racing programme down for decision, which all gets underway there at 7:30. We have the Sorley O'Dornan Memorial A3-A4 Guys and Doll Stake opening round, of course, and this has a nice pot of €2,250, so we can expect some good performances in this competition, no doubt, over the course of the next couple of weeks. Morris Organ had an impressive winner there at Clonmel over the course of the last week or so, and Popular Richie looks a leading player for Gerard Organ there in race number 4. That one certainly has plenty of pace, and if turning in a handy position, could be hard to hold in the closing stages. Caught my eye in defeat last time, and that was in an above average contest, so certainly one to keep an eye on there. Elsewhere, in other heats, moving down through the card, of course, onto race number 7, which is another interesting race. Chief Sydney is one to watch out for here, for Patrick O'Hurley and Ballyfahan and Cork, trained locally in Clonmel by Kevin McLean. Yet to put it all together, did catch the eye 2 starts ago around Galway, and if producing a good start here, should go very well from the inside of the track. They're just 2 to keep an eye on below in Clonmel there tonight, while we look ahead to Turles on Saturday night. They have their usual Saturday night racing programme down for decision. All gets underway there in Turles at 7:35. Some good competitive action to look forward to. We have the Morris Ryan ON2 525 semi-finals. Lovely pot there with €2,200. To the winner, and looks a good contest here. Of course, in the opening round, we had a couple of good performances, none more so than Bogger Una, who will be hard to beat in the second semi-final. That really caught my eye when winning on debut for Liam Peacock. It's got a tricky enough draw on trap number 5, but I think there's plenty more to come from this and should go well. Sundance Susie will be the one to beat in the opening semi-final. So two good races there very much to look forward to in Thurles on Saturday night. Back to the local racing action in Clonmel on Sunday night. Some good racing down for the season, of course. Their usual Sunday night racing programme gets underway at the earlier start time of 6:29. And we're going to look ahead to race number 8, which is an A1 contest. And a couple of smart sorts in opposition here. Honey Lassie is taking a good drop in class. It's got good winning form around Clonmel. This one for David Power and Michael Power. This looks sure to take plenty of stopping if putting its best foot forward. Ran in the Con and Annie Kirby Memorial down in Limerick last time. Speaking of that race, of course, the Con and Annie Kirby Memorial competition, two fantastic semi-finals down for decision in Limerick on Saturday night. A big Tipperary interest there. We look forward to previewing the big final here next Friday night, and no doubt we will have Tipperary interest in the final. Well, finally down in Curraheen Park in Cork on Saturday night, Graham Holland has leading claims in the 5,000 euro to the winner Greyhound and Petworld Super Sprint with Romeo Taylor, who set the standard last week. So that's another big race there down in Cork this weekend. Plenty to look forward to, and as I said, we'll have lots more to speak about come next Friday evening.
Always great to have Barry Drake there on a Friday evening previewing all things greyhound racing, both here in Tipperary and further afield as well. But that's pretty much all we got time for this part of the show. We're going to take a final ad break and we'll be back in McNeville Park in Rathkeel bringing live commentary of Tipperary versus Limerick in the Under-20 Hurling Championship after this final ad break.